You have your Bibles this morning. Find, if you would, two passages of Scripture. Both of them are in the same book of the Bible. Find, if you would, Psalms 85 and Psalms 119. The 85th Psalm and the 119th Psalm. These will be the two Bible texts that we will go back and forth. Go ahead and put something, if you would, in Psalm 119. We'll begin in Psalm 85. I have a responsibility today and a delight today to preach to our church in preparation for our revival services. I'm concerned in my own life and in your life and in the life of our church that revival does not sneak up on us. I don't want us to come next week and not be prepared for what I believe that God is going to do in our hearts through the revival services. So I've been preaching some messages along that line. I'm preaching a message today entitled Understanding Revival. Now, there's no way in the world that I could preach the message in totality that would bring us to a total understanding of what revival is. But I do believe that through the message today, it will give us a glimpse and a direction of what God wants to do when in through our revival. It's important for me that you understand even what the word revival means. In the Bible, you will find the word revive is the word quicken. It's the word that means to make alive. Revival meetings are meetings that are designed for God's people. If you're a child of God, born again by the Lord Jesus, say amen. All right, so revival is for you. I don't want you to sit out there and think, well, the church is having revival, but that's not for me. I'm already a Christian. I want to make it very clear. Revival is for the Christian. Okay? Now, there will be opportunity for the unsaved to receive the gospel whenever the church is experiencing revival, or whether you're experiencing it in your personal life, you will find that the gospel is surrounding you. It's empowered. And as you present the gospel to folks, they will be saved. So as our church experiences revival, then there will be the salvation of lost people. I would encourage you, as we move into revival, to invite lost people next Sunday morning, next Wednesday night. Dr. Comfort, as an evangelist, has a tremendous anointing and powerful way of preaching to lost people. How many have ever been to a revival in our church? All right, hands down. You've been to a revival in other churches, not our church. Awesome. Anybody never attended a revival message or series? You've never been to revival? Great, hands everywhere. Question for you. Anybody saved during a revival? Valerie was saved during a revival. Anybody else saved during revival messages? Billy down here. Okay, right here, other folks. Some have been saved during revival. You will find that it's a blending. But revival itself as a focus is really designed for the child of God. The words revival and reviver, quicken, means to bring again to life. There's a focus in revival, and some R's to remember. And oh yeah, I forgot to ask you to get a pen out, because you're going to need a pen, and take your bulletin beside you. And I want today's message to kind of work as a study tool for you throughout the week as you spend time with the Lord. And so I want you to write down some of these thoughts. A lot of introduction today. I got 5 points to the message. I want you to write all 5 points down and the scripture references from them. And as you prepare your heart for revival, it'll be a good study guide or a tool guide as God uses that. Revival meetings are designed to have a return to them, a recall, a recovering, a renewal about them. They're designed to lift and to stir and to encourage, designed to raise from discouragement or from the rut or routine of life. And by the way, we can fall into rut and routine very easily. I'm going to make some practical suggestions today to our church family as we approach ourselves for revival and prepare ourselves for revival. I would encourage you this week to change your routine. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Lessen your activity this week. Don't run your guts out. I know you got to go to work and come home, but make sure that you spend some time stilling yourself, being quiet, getting alone with God. Ladies, if your man comes home and says, I need some alone time to get myself prepared for revival, you ought to thank God for that kind of man. Okay? Men, if your wife comes to you and says, now, listen, I need some time by myself. I think the most practical would be at the spa. I'm just kidding about that. All right. But if she comes and she says, hey, help me a little bit, then help, man. Get some time alone. Prepare yourself. Don't run your guts out Friday night, Saturday. Next week, you should be in your bed by 9 o'clock. Okay. You don't have to go to sleep, but be in your bed, be in your jammies. I don't want to see Facebook post at 1 a.m. and you're down at the beach. I think the beach closes at dark, by the way, doesn't it? So not only are you down there, you're breaking the law. So let's not do that for revival. But just change up your routine a little bit. Still yourself. Quiet yourself. Don't run your guts out. Why? Because I believe that God wants to do a work in our lives. And as we approach revival, it's designed to be a concentrated, focused time where God is able to lift us. And all God's people need revival. It's for the Christian. And so I would encourage you to do that. When you think about Bible passages, two come to mind when it talks about revival. The first one is Psalm 85. And there's a very clear direction and organization for revival in Psalm 85. The other one, you find verses of it in Psalm 119. In Psalm 85, the first three verses are the psalmist remembering the mercy of God and the goodness of God. And this psalm is really a song that was prepared for the sons of Korah. It was a psalm that was written for them to sing. And the psalmist opens up with God's faithfulness, with God's forgiveness, with God's graciousness in verses 1, 2, and 3. Verse number 4, the psalmist comes back to a reality of the moment, and they find themselves as a nation again in a sinful or distant relationship with the Lord. And you find in verse number 4, he says, Turn us, O God of our salvation. Cause thine anger towards us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? The psalmist is explaining to the Lord and reminding the Lord, not that the Lord needs explained or reminded, but the psalmist is taking comfort in these truths that there's forgiveness with God and there's mercy with God. Verse number 6, he says, wilt thou not, say those two words, revive us again. All right, so here is the request of the psalmist to be revived, to be quickened, to be returned, renewed, to recall, to be lifted, to be recovered from their current position. Now look what he says. To revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. Now the psalmist is crying out for revival, and he's crying out for revival from the aspect of he needs God's mercy. And by the way, we need God's mercies every day. Okay? And so most people think that when it comes to revival, and I'll preach about this in a moment, that all God wants to do is take you to the woodshed. I got news for you, God. That's not the only purpose God has, nor is that the motive of revival that God has. Look in verse number 8. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. All right? So the psalmist is requesting revival. Praying for revival. He wants the mercy of God to be spilled out into his life. And he wants to know what God has to say. Now there's the voice of God is described in the Word of God as the still small voice. And that's why I think you need to change your routine. That's why I think you need to quiet yourself. We live noisy lives. You want to know how noisy this world is? Sleep with your windows open tonight. Sleep with your windows open. I dare you. It's going to be cold. Lift your windows and just see if you can fall asleep soundly. Man, the traffic and the noise of the city and the horns and all these kind of things. It's a loud world. But God has a loud voice, but when he communicates to you, he communicates in a still, small voice. So this week, if you want to hear what God has to say to you in revival, you got to quiet yourself. Not easy to do, but important to do. He goes on to say that, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, and let them not turn again to his folly. Okay? So revival is really God working to bring a peace about our lives. Verse number 9, surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. And I'll stop reading there. But the psalmist wanted for God's glory to dwell again in the land of Israel. And I don't know about you, but I want God's glory on my life. I hope you want God's glory on your life. I want God's glory on our church's life. And so we come to points and times in our walk with the Lord personally, in our walk with the Lord corporately, where we need revival. And so all of us do. I stress that. I hope you understand. I want to give you 5 truths about revival to help you understand. Write them down. If you're going to understand revival, the first thing you're going to understand is the source of revival. And we find in verse number 6 of Psalm 85, the source. It's the second word. Wilt thou, speaking to the Lord, wilt thou not revive us again? And so the psalmist understands that if the source of revival is the Lord. Okay? The preacher himself cannot come and bring revival to you. You cannot even manipulate revival. I think that's why so many people are frustrated. Most of God's people get frustrated when it comes to revival because we try to manipulate some kind of holy position or some kind of work. But really and truthfully, if there's going to be the bringing again to life, if there's going to be the renewal, or the return, or the recovery, or the recall, and the lifting of God's people, it must be done by the Lord himself. God is the source of revival. And so as you're preparing for revival, your concentration is upon the Lord. Lord, what do you want from my life? Lord, speak to me today. Lord, I want you to stir me. God, I want you to bring again the joy of the Lord. And so it's not something that just happens because you show up. It's not something that happens within yourself. It's what God does to bring about revival. And if the Lord brings about revival, it will be a lasting revival. I want you to hold your hand here and go to Psalm 119. I want to touch base on a statement I said earlier. Look, if you would, please, at Psalm 119. Look at verse number 88. We're going to take 2 verses here. Psalm 119, verse 88, and then Psalm 119, 88, 159. Okay, look at verse 88. The first word there is quicken. That's the same word that means revive. They're interchangeable. Quicken and revive. To breathe life into. Quicken me after thy, what's that word, class? Loving kindness. So shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Go, if you would, to verse number 159. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy, say the word, loving kindness. Okay, so the psalmist understood that the source of revival is God. God's got to bring about that revival, but the psalmist said that God will bring about that revival based off of his loving kindness. You see, most God's people think that revival is that time that is designed to take us to the woodshed. Does anybody know what I mean by going to the woodshed? Anybody ever go to the woodshed? Your dad ever take you to the woodshed? Yes, I've been there many times. The woodshed was a place where you got discipline. And so we kind of think, well, the evangelist is going to come. He's going to preach hard. I'm not perfect. He's going to preach about all my sin. I know I'm going to be convicted. I know God's going to do this. And I know God's going to unleash on me. So I'm not going to attend revival. Well, my friend, if that's your mindset, number one, you don't understand God. And number two, you're going to miss out on a blessing. The psalmist said that revival is that work that God does that motivates from the Lord from within his loving kindness. It is the loving kindness that God uses to correct us. The Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he does what? He chastens. So revival is, that God does that work is a loving kind work. It comes from his loving kindness. It's motivated by that. It's not, revival is not a time to make you feel guilty or dirty or nasty. It's not a time to shame you. It's not a time to put pressure on you. It's not a time for you to go and make promises again to God. Nowhere in that Bible does God ever ask you to make a promise. The worst thing a Christian can ever do is make God a promise. Don't do it. Why? Because you and I don't keep our promises. Okay? Now, hallelujah, the Bible's filled with promises God made to us. He's kept every one of them. So don't think that your pastor's up here saying, now, I want you to come to revival, and I want you to promise not to drink, cuss, chew, and go with girls who do. Okay? No. Revival is that life work that God does in our lives, motivated through his loving kindness to bring us to a position again where we love the Lord. And it's not a spanking or a whooping time. It's not something you need to be afraid of. It's not something you ought to embrace. All right? So the source of revival is the Lord. Number two, the subjects of revival. All of these will begin with S. Go back, if you would, to Psalm 85:6. If you're taking notes, write down somewhere on your paper Habakkuk chapter 3, verse number 2. Habakkuk 3:2. Now, because I only have 20 minutes, I'm not going to ask you to find Habakkuk. But it's in the Bible, I promise you. All right, Psalm 85:6. Now watch this. Wilt thou not revive, say that little word. Us. Singular or plural? Plural. All right. So when the psalmist says, wilt thou not revive us, in that passage, he's speaking about the nation of Israel as a whole. Will you revive the nation? And by the way, there are some subjects of revival. And the first one of them is a corporate subject. That would be the church. When you go to Habakkuk chapter 3, verse number 2, the Bible says, Habakkuk says that God will revive his work. So as our church approaches revival, now listen, we're asking God to lift us corporately as a body. We're also asking God to breathe life again into the work that he wants to do through our church. And by the way, God wants to do a great work through our church. He is doing it, and we have a future there. And so for 2016, our theme is people, and we're concentrated on people, our response to people. And so we want God to revive the work of Plantation Baptist Church so we don't get stagnated, so we don't die, so we're not without his power. And we want to be a lighthouse into our community. So there's the revival of a corporate position. There's the revival of his work. What I want you to see is found in Psalm 138. Go to Psalm 138. Shouldn't be hard to find. You should be close by there. Look, if you would, at Psalm 138. And look, if you would, at verse number 7. I hope you're writing down notes. The subjects of revival. There's corporately the church. There's the work of God. That's the work that the church, that he enables through the church. Now look at Psalm 138, verse number 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive, say the word, me. So the psalmist says, yes, there's a corporate revival. Yes, there's a revival of work, but those two will be founded on the fact of an individual revival. And so for Plantation Baptist Church corporately to see revival, for the work that God wants to do in and through us to see revival, that means on an individual basis, we need to have revival. So your prayer ought to be, Lord, revive me. Now, when you make that prayer and you submit to that, and the Spirit of God begins to search your heart and your mind and your life and all of those things, He'll begin to stir in that. But don't you dare have the mindset, well, the church is having revival and I'm just going to stay home. No. The church cannot have revival unless Hank has revival. And that's a pretty far stretch right there, isn't it? Okay? So the church cannot have, who's back there? The church will never know revival totally unless Tricia has revival way back in the corner. And Simon way back in that corner. And Billy down here. You see, sometimes we try to get in our mindset that it's good for them but not for me. But the old song said, it's not my brother or my sister standing in the need of prayer, but it's me, O Lord. So you, as a child of God, have the responsibility to see that God revive you. You. Me. And for you as a member of a local body to not at least think about that is not fitting within the body. Now, Isaiah said, and you should write this down, Isaiah 57, verse number 15. Isaiah said in chapter 57, verse 15, that God only revives the spirit of the humble or of the broken and contrite heart. A great verse. I don't have time, but you read it. That God only revives the spirit of the humble or the broken and contrite heart. What does that mean? That means this. God's not going to give you revival if you don't want it. If you don't want it, you're not going to know revival. So Isaiah said to the spirit of the humble, which means Tom Hunter has a responsibility as a man to humble myself, a responsibility as a church member to humble myself and say, now, Lord, I want revival. I got difficulty and problems, but I'm humbling myself. I know it's scary to have you search my heart. I'm not sure where I stand with all that, but I know this. I want to be right with you. I want to have a humble spirit. So God, please do a work in me. Now, as He revives me, and as He revives Malcolm, He revives you, He'll be reviving our church. Then He'll be reviving the work of God, and then we'll be able to carry through. But every person in this room that knows Jesus has a responsibility to humble themselves to the work of revival. Okay, that's our responsibility. Number three, the standard of revival. The standard of revival is also found in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, look if you would, at verse 25. Now we're going to look at a bunch of verses here, but it's all in this chapter. Verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust, speaking of the psalmist here in his suffering. Quicken thou, or revive thou me, according to thy, say it, word. Go to verse 107. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Look, if you would, at verse 149. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. Thy word, that word judgment is a reference to the word of God. Verse 154, plead my cause and deliver me, quicken me according to thy word. Verse 156, great are thy tender mercies, O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgments. Now listen, the standard or the measurement of revival is the word of God. There can be no revival without God's word. It's imperative that you understand that. Why? That ought to drive us to the Word of God this week and preparing our hearts. That ought to drive us to the preaching of the Word of God. Man, when the evangelist comes and he preaches next Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, we ought to show up ready to hear what God has to say to us. Now, let me say a word about the evangelist. He's not your preacher and I'm not the evangelist. Okay? What does that mean? He has a different gift than I have. I have the responsibility to do the work of an evangelist, but an evangelist and a pastor teacher are two different gifts given to the church. All right? An evangelist is a herald, or he's a thunderous. He's an authoritative preacher. When you hear Dr. Comfort preach, he is a man of God. Amen? And he's going to preach, and the word of God is going to have power and authority. We're going to pray that it does. It's different than your pastor. Not that it doesn't have power or authority when I preach, but it comes from a different level. It comes from a different gift. You could never build a church with an evangelist. You need a pastor and you need a teacher. And a pastor and a teacher could never have an evangelist ministry. But as he comes and he preaches the word of God, our responsibility is to show up and say, I want to hear God's word. Now, when you won't come and you want to hear God's word, it will have power. Now, let me show you what's going to happen so you understand this. When God, the standard of revival is God's word, then look at Psalm 119, verse number 37. Verse number 37 has got a tremendous truth to us. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in, what are those two words? Thy way. So as the word of God is the standard or measurement of revival, and it's preached, God will take his word and begin to quicken us according to his way. Now, the way of God is the way of holiness. It's the way of humility. It's the way of righteousness. And so this is how God is going to take the word of God and revive our hearts. You cannot have a revival without God's word. You cannot have a revival without the preaching of God's word. So, six messages. Truth be told, you need all of them. All of them. Pastor, I was the only one planning on coming to one. I don't even know what to say to that other than I hope you come to all six. Pastor, I just can't give that kind of time. Pastor, that just... You know, I understand if you got to work or you're sick. I totally understand that. But if you're just already said, I'm not coming to any Monday night church service, listen, church, we love the Word of God. We need the Word of God. And so you want to make sure that you carve that time out. Can I just share my heart with you just a second? It is a little bit encouraging or discouraging to show up and to see God's people respond. If you don't show up, I'm going to miss you. If I didn't show up, would you miss me? Me. Do you remember what happened to me last year in revival? Wednesday night, I got sick. Horribly sick. I pray that doesn't happen this week. I'm going to isolate myself. All right? But we need each other. So you need the preaching of God's word. Humble yourself to the preaching of God's word. Number four, the secret of revival. Now, the secret of revival is found again in Psalm 85, and it's the direction of verse number 6, and you notice that the psalmist here is offering his prayer. Wilt thou not revive us again? So there will be no revival without God's word, and there will be no revival without prayer. So here's what we're doing. As a church, we've set out in the lobby a 24-hour prayer chain. And I'm asking you to take a slot of 15 minutes, if you're a member of our church, and pray for revival. Pastor, 15 minutes is a long time to pray. I don't do well with that. I'm not sure what to do. Great. I put out there an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. There's 10 things on that paper that you can pray for that will teach you what to pray. Even almost the verses and words for you to say. If you take that piece of paper and you pray those 10 things, 15 minutes will go by like this. Okay? Now, we won't have revival if we don't pray this thing into a position. It's the secret of revival. That means we need everyone to participate in our prayer time. And you need to have private prayer. You should be praying for yourself, praying for our church. But there's a difference between having a meeting and having a moving. We can have a meeting where we just show up and enjoy one another. But we want to have a moving where God moves and brings to us revival. And so when this service is over, stop by there and take your spot. Sign yourself up there. And if you can take more than one spot, that's fine. But we need to pray it in. Fifthly, the last thing in understanding revival is found again in Psalm 85, verse number 6. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may, what's that word, class? Rejoice in thee. And really and truthfully, this is the success of revival. The success of revival is to bring us to a position where we are rejoicing in the Lord. Bring us to a position where we love the Lord. And it's a beautiful position of revival. It's the success of revival. Our God is a good God. He's a great God, and He brings great joy to His people. I want to ask you a question. Do you sitting there on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being horrible and 10 being solid, where are you in the joy of the Lord in your life? 1 being horrible, 10 being solid. Where do you think you fit? Pastor, I'm not even sure that I even know how to measure that. Well, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our... Do we know? The joy of the Lord is what, class? Strength. So if the joy of the Lord is my strength, how are you doing on that? Pastor, I'm so tired. It's one thing to be physically tired. It's another thing to be spiritually tired. The joy of the Lord being our strength, let me ask you a couple questions. If you truly have a position of joy in the Lord, then you'll have the peace of the Lord. How's your peace? There's peace with God and there's the peace of God. The Bible says that the peace of God garrisons or guards my heart and my mind. So that there's a defense in my heart, in my mind, and that way I'm stable and strong with the Lord. So if I have the joy of the Lord, then the peace of God is on my life. If I have the peace of God, there's another evidence of that. I'm preaching. What does that mean? That means I'm witnessing Christ. You know, I have found that people talk about what they enjoy. People talk about what's important to them. People talk about what they like. If truly we have a position of the joy of the Lord, then the gospel ought to be on our heart and our mind and coming out. Our prayer life will be what it is. And then fourthly, I think if you have the joy of the Lord, then Christ is preeminent in your life. What does that mean? That means that everything about my life finds its fulfillment and protection and direction under the authority of Jesus Christ. Now, our human nature hates authority. I hate it as much as you hate it. Matter of fact, I sinned horribly the other day, and if I could find this little girl, I would apologize. You've been to the Sawgrass Mills Mall lately? It's like going to hell. They've tore up all the parking out front there. And I got aggravated in the flesh. Pastor, I can't believe you get aggravated in the flesh. Oh, boy. And so they got all these valet people out there. All they want to do is make money, all right? So they've stripped all the parking from the common people. And now you got to go in there and you got to valet and you got to wait, whatever, and so on. Well, it was a Sunday night after church, and I don't know, Beverly, we wanted to go eat. We were hungry. We hadn't eaten all day. So they have a good soup over there at one of those places. We were going to go get a soup and a salad. And there was nowhere to park. And I saw this little cut through that I could take. And just about the time I went through that little cut, this little girl in an orange vest from that valet place, who I was already in the flesh over, stepped in front of my vehicle. And she said, mm-mm. What I should have done was said, yes, ma'am. What I did do was different than that. I said, you're not a police officer. You don't have the right to do this. But I think later they probably do. It's private property. And so I went right around her and did what I wanted to do. In the moment, felt good. You ever done something in the moment and then have the Spirit of God? Doesn't feel too good when the Spirit of God shows up, does it? I got to go over there and find that girl and apologize to her. We hate in our humanity authority. But I'm going to tell you something. The greatest place for you and I to be is under the authority of Jesus Christ. So, revival is designed as a success to bring us to a position that we joy in the Lord, to bring us under the preeminency of Christ in every area of our life, where He has the authority over every part of that. And then we will find, as we live under His authority, He is good, kind, bountiful, loving, awesome. And as I submit my life to that direction and that encouragement, He leads and He guides, and I know the joy of the Lord. The source of revival is the Lord. The subject of the revival begins with you and me. The standard of revival is the Word of God. The secret of revival is prayer. And the success of revival is that we would rejoice in the Lord. So on a scale of 1 to 10, where do you stand in the joy of the Lord? Pastor, I'm not doing too well there in that. Well, then come. Let God do a work of revival and bring you into the joy of His reward. Shall we pray?